Blog Talk Radio.
You are tuned in to Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir and Sherry Pang. Stay tuned as we enter the world of the unknown. There is a silent, invisible world that surrounds us all. A world we don't understand. A world that we wish to understand. And on Paranormal Horizons, we're going to explore this and hopefully get some answers. That is right. Hopefully we're going to get some answers on the paranormal this evening. I'm Jason Ophir, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons, and here with Sherry, as always. How's it going, Sherry?
Hey, Jason. How you doing?
Oh, just trucking along. Another week down. How are things been for you this last week?
Oh, my gosh. It's been so busy. Even though that, you know, the holidays are a little bit slow, I am so glad. I mean, to me, the holidays are it's a nice excuse to get together with your friends and your family. But, you know, life has been really, really, it's been a blessing. I've been busy with readings, and I just continue to be blessed, and I'm just plucking along. I'm tired today, but I had a big group reading, and I'm really happy with the outcomes. And, I have a lot to be blessed for. But, yeah, everything's going good. What about you? You doing okay?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. While everybody was visiting their families and doing the family thing over the holiday, I was working, you know, saving lives. No big deal.
Working and saving lives, that's a good thing. You're adding value.
doing my tiny
oh my
part.
Gosh. Wow. Well, I want to make a public announcement before we put Joe on air. I don't know if he's on hold or Maria would be on hold, but I want to make a big announcement to the Paranormal Horizons listeners and our supporters. Maria Duff is going to be part of our group. She is on the back side of the scenes, and she's been helping with our Facebook page. And I just want to introduce, and I'm so happy to officially announce her as part of the Paranormal Horizons team. She will help co-host with Jason or I with some of the shows, and it's been wonderful. She's a beautiful friend, beautiful soul, and I'm just really happy to have her as part of the team. Most of you probably don't know, but you probably heard that I have started my own radio show. It's called Portals to Enlightenment, The Journey of Body, Mind, and Spirit. And so what's my show, I talk about the things that are happening with the body, fitness, nutrition, yoga, anything with the body and the mind and the spirit. So it broadens up the subjects of what I can cover. My shows are about half an hour long unless I have a really good guest and they're willing to talk for an hour. But starting next Saturday, we're going to have the first show. Her name is Andrea Perrone. She's been on our show, and she's going to talk about her experiences with her trilogy, House of Darkness and House of Light. That will be next Saturday at the new moon. It will air on 5:30 Pacific Standard Time, and we're on about 25 to 30 podcasts, and so from Spotify to iTunes to Spreaker to Podcast Addict to Google Play. A lot of these things you can just tap in, Portals to Enlightenment, and get me on. So anyway, her show is going to be next Saturday at 5:30 Pacific Time, and just go ahead and listen to us. And we'll just go from there. But I just want to congratulate Maria Maria to on our team, Jason.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we all have so much going on, so it's always nice to have somebody else involved in it. You know, the show's been Paranormal Horizons, I think, has been going every week or almost every week for 5 years. And as we were talking a little bit before the show, we're also looking at sort of expanding our platforms to get the show out a little bit more. And we're waiting to hear back from iHeartRadio. Apparently, that's a really slow process, but slowly Paranormal Horizons is going to be kind of getting out there on some other platforms, which is exciting. It'll get us heard by more people. And right now we're on 2, so hopefully expand that a little bit.
Right, right. So, yes, we are looking at expanding, and we are the number one search engine in Blog Talk Radio under paranormal. So Maria is well-known in the paranormal field. She's, like I said, she's a beautiful soul, and she's dynamic, and love to have work with her and continue to be part of our team. So I'm really happy about that. Yay! I would like to go and introduce our returning guest. This guy is just another beautiful soul. Love him. He's just, he does a lot for his community. He has a lot to teach us in the Hawaiian culture, and in also he is part of the Hawaiian Hauntings. He's actually the Hawaiian Hauntings group founder. And Joe is just a wealth of information, wealth of experience, and I always enjoy listening to him talking stories. So I would like to have him come on, and that would be great.
Yeah, and it looks like I think we got Maria as well, so I'll bring both of them on.
Hey.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Maria.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hey, guys.
Hey. Welcome to the team. I just officially
announced
you. I'm excited.
It's awesome.
Hi,
Thank
Joe. How are you?
Hello, hello.
How's
doing fine. A little chilly out tonight. Chilly.
Well,
I think it's about 72.
In the Northwest. Oh my gosh. So we don't have any particular subject tonight, so we're gonna just kind of wing it.
I like winging it.
So anyway, whatever goes, is I'm sure we're gonna be talking about something very interesting.
Oh yeah, sounds great.
Yeah. So what's happening in the Hawaiian, the Hawaiian thing going on or anything? Have you been going on any tours or anything like that? Or, you know, have you, you know, what's been happening on your end?
In the last month or so, I got invited out by a friend to go investigate a road before a cemetery that's well known to be haunted. There's a cemetery at the end of the road, and then there's a fork, and at the other end there's like a penitentiary. So it has a lot of really strange energy there. First time I've been there, and it had very unique experiences, things that I've never really had happen before. Smells. You know, it smelled like a wet dog, like so much so that it was overpowering. Some people, they couldn't leave their car because it was just so overpowering. And this road was maybe about 20, 30 yards wide, you know. And it was up and down the road. It wasn't in one place, and the smell would move around. I mean, it would be on one side of the road, then the other side of the road. We were there for a good 5-6 hours maybe. And the smell would move, and it would completely disappear for an hour or two and then slowly come back, and that's when we knew it was time to go.
Oh, wow. So let me ask you,
like
both
a wet
Jason
dog.
And Maria, have you ever had that smell when you guys ever had any type of investigation, let alone been in a place?
I haven't.
You can go ahead, Murray.
I haven't been around the wet dog smell, but there's been times when you've been on investigations that you pick up different scents that don't belong in to the area that you're in. Sometimes you'll pick up like a perfume smell if you're in a, like an old hospital or something, which, I mean, I've investigated one of those, and abandoned hospital, there's not been anything in there but dirt and mold and birds and creatures kind of living in there, but you'll pick up a scent of a perfume or something like that. But I don't think I could have handled that wet dog smell because that's nasty.
Wow.
It was really overpowering. I mean, it was just for everybody there. We kept looking in the bushes. We kept looking, but then, as I said, it would stop and it would move around, so we couldn't really pinpoint where the smell was, and there was no wind at all, right? And then all the lights on the street decided to go off, right? As some people were saying, it's time to leave. We're going to go now because something's telling me it's time to leave. Boom. Like, we watched in a row, 12 lights at the same time just went out. All the street lights. And they stayed out the rest of the night, and they weren't on a timer because it wasn't at a, like, 10 p.m. kind of thing. It was like 10:41 or something.
That's crazy.
So we tried to figure out a lot of. I mean, there was no disembodied groaning or, you know, that kind of stuff. We did get some activity on the spirit box, which was a little interesting as well. Have you guys heard of this before now? One word we kept hearing, like, we turned on the spirit box and we were asking, you know, who are you? What is your name? And we kept getting George. Like, in about a 3-minute time span, we heard George probably about 30 times. Every answer to every question we throw, the answer was George. And then we continued asking, and we're like, okay, George, are you from the graveyard? Are you just roaming around the area? And then it said George Bush. And this was about a few days after they buried George Bush. And I'm like, yeah, there ain't George Bush ain't here in the middle of nowhere with the wet dog smell talking to us, you know. And then he went on, we asked other questions, and it started to name his wife and his son and, you know, that kind of stuff. And it would tell us the name, so it was an intelligent entity we're talking to. And I'm not one to think, my God, we're talking to George Bush here, you know. It reminds me of a time when Robin Williams had passed. A lot of people in the spirit boxes claimed that Robin Williams came through and talked to them a lot. You guys remember that? Do you guys hear anything about that?
Oh, yeah.
I know there's somebody out there that you know, as soon as somebody dies, they say they communicated them with on the spirit box. But I heard somebody argue about the reason that's happening, because the spirit box is the one that scans the radio channels. And their argument was, well, yeah, they're getting talked about a lot on the radio, you know, when somebody dies, and that's why those particular names are coming through.
This is true. You can tell when it's the radio station, and you can tell when it's different. It was the same voice over all the radio stations, the same male voice talking, you know, on all the different frequencies from, we're doing the FM, I believe. And we had the fancy one my friend had, where you have two spirit boxes in one, where you can go forward on one of the spirit boxes and then backwards on the other one. So, I thought that was really interesting. But I mean, it reminded me of the time of Robin Williams passing, and everybody's like, I talked to Robin Williams. I heard, like, I knew three people who are friends on Facebook who claimed that they were in love with Robin Williams and he loved them back and they were going to do anything they can to be with him. And it's like, this is kind of borderline, you know, this is kind of scary in a different way.
I have to say I'm skeptical. Maria, what's your take on spirit boxes?
I enjoy them, and like he said, you can tell if you've got the same voice that's coming across this every time, because you can tell, because sometimes it'll pick up music or it'll pick up quick, like a female voice and a male voice, and you can tell that's when it's scanning. But when you've got something that's going to do complete sentences across all of these frequencies, then you can definitely tell that something is trying to communicate with you.
Have you ever felt it for your arm before? I know one of the techniques that a lot of people practice is they'll cover the speaker to ask a question. And then they'll uncover it. And when you're covering the speaker and there's the answer, you hear a loud, clear response, it just sends like electric shocks and chicken skin, or we call it chicken skin, goosebumps, up all the way up your arm to your shoulder. Have you experienced that before?
I haven't experienced that. A lot of, we've done experiments with, we'll have either two separate spirit boxes, and I will plug my headphones into spirit box. And, of course, anybody that's ever used those knows how loud they are, and it drowns out everybody that's around you or anything that's going on. And when I get, they'll ask questions, and then I will say out loud what I'm hearing coming through the spirit box. So then
you can't even hear the questions.
Right, correct. I just repeat what I hear. So I don't know if anybody's asked a question. I'm just saying what I understand what's coming through. The sad part is I don't know what I'm missing when all of this is going on. So, and then plus, then I'm afraid, well, maybe I missed a key word in there or something. But then after you listen to the recording and then the questions that were being asked and what my answers that I was saying, plus the other spirit box, it got really interesting.
How long have spirit boxes been around? Has the spirit box been around a while? When did that hit the scene?
But they have, about the last 6-7 years?
The first one was the Frank box, right?
Right.
The guy named Frank. Yeah, those are very rare. A friend of mine showed me one of those, and it's just a big, like, shoebox thing made of wood with the same thing as a spirit box. But it said the transistors, Frank would go into a trance when he would tune the transistors. People would watch him, and they said he goes into a trance, and he doesn't even remember it. I think that would be the 90s. I'm not sure on the dates, but, yeah, I would think the 90s would be when the spirit box was born. But spirit communication, I mean, who was that great inventor that believed that we could create a ghost phone or spirit phone? Was that Thomas Edison? Who was trying to create a device to talk with the dead before? I mean, a very, very intelligent, you know, legendary guy for his brilliance believed and was working on a machine to talk to the dead before he passed. Like, you could pick up a phone and dial your aunt or something who had passed away.
Wow.
I'm trying to figure it out right now.
Google's great, isn't it, Jason?
Yeah, Google's fantastic.
But yeah, then they have all the apps on the phones and stuff that kind of essentially do the same thing. It creates a canvas of white noise and other just phonetics and that kind of stuff to go into it. You know, I like the phonetic modes a lot in the devices because it usually they don't usually speak in Hawaiian very much. Sorry, there's fireworks going on behind me. yeah, those are fireworks. No, we're not having a shootout or anything down here.
That's good to know.
They make me jump every time. But yeah, like the ovilus and all of those things and stuff like that as well. They work off of pre-recorded words, but in Hawaii, you have a lot of things that are in a different language. And so the phonetic modes, where it just has like a letter or two letters, just the sound of a phonetic, works a lot better when you're communicating with Hawaiian spirits.
I see that would be complicated because in a lot of the TV shows, when you pick up EVPs and it's in a different language, you don't know what you're picking up unless you've got a translator.
Yeah, well, the thing is, there was a time where I picked up a bunch of stuff and I could not understand what this thing was saying, and this spirit was just so proud. It was over a Skype conversation me and this lady were talking with. I shared the story a few years ago with the radio, one of the scariest cases I ever had, and this voice just came, this raspy kind of voice, and it would continue saying the same thing. I managed to actually record it. And it was speaking in Latin. I was able to send the audio clip to a person who spoke Latin, and they were able to help me translate it.
Oh,
that
wow.
Kind of stuff is always interesting. I don't really do much recordings. I don't really do much of anything. I like to use your five senses or six senses, you know, because those are the best tools that you have. The spirit box is very interesting. My friend Guy just gave me a spirit box for Christmas, and I've been using that a little bit here and there. And I experienced for the first time that thing going up the arm where, like, me and my daughter were in the front yard in the daytime because she wanted to try it. She's 10 years old, and she wanted to try it and see if it worked. And so there's said to be a little girl in my house. I've never seen her. I've never heard her. But two of my friends who are mediums both mentioned it to me completely out of the blue, years apart. And so we were trying to – we turned it on, and we're like, hi, is a girl here? And then you heard a girl say, hello. And it said, my daughter's like, wow, can you say my name? And it said my daughter's name in Hawaiian. So she knew us very well, and then we're asking questions, and I kind of covered it because I didn't get an answer, and then I heard the yes, like, yes, like that, and it was so loud that it just sent shivers up my hand that I was covering the speaker in with, you know. And she's not a bad ghost. She's she's not a bad ghost. She thinks she's part of her family for the last 30 years. And she lives with us. Yeah, she eats with us. She watches TV with us. That's what I've been told.
Well, as long as she behaves, that'll be good.
The most she ever did was turn on a music box, and that scared my sister.
That'd be unsettling. So for any of the history buffs out there, and this is new to me, in the late 20s, not long before Thomas Edison's death, he created the spirit phone. I guess it's his least successful invention. And he reportedly gathered with other scientists in a secret laboratory to record the voices and presences of the dead. They used speakers, generators, and other experiments. Sorry, something's crawling down my throat. I think I'm being choked by a spirit. Hold on. I'm not supposed to talk about this. Thomas Edison is getting mad at me. Apparently, it used a tiny pencil of light coming from a powerful lamp, and this light was supposed to bore through the darkness and strike some sort of surface, and it was supposed to detect really small particles, and the particles are supposedly the proof of afterlife, physical bits of the human personality left in the atmosphere, but it didn't work. Nothing happened, so the spirit phone just fell into obscurity.
Interesting.
Well, what do you think about?
Go ahead.
What do you think about the association people do with the Ouija boards to the spirit boxes? Do you think that's about the same thing?
No, because the spirit box is completely different from the Ouija board. Whereas the Ouija board, one of the essential components of a Ouija board is you. You tell them specifically to use your body to move the, I could never pronounce it. Is it called the planchette?
Yes.
Right? You specifically try to you specifically open yourself up to spirits to enter your body, to channel the spirit. And that in itself, without the right protections, can be catastrophic. You don't know what you're letting in. A spirit box is more of you're not using yourself. You can in ways, but you never have to open yourself up. What do you think about
that? There's been a lot of debate, and that's kind of what I was wondering. People try to associate anything that you use to communicate with spirits to be the equivalent of a Ouija board. And I've just never agreed with that. I mean,
I believe under the right circumstances. Yeah, under the right circumstances with training and knowing what you're doing, you may be able to successfully use a Ouija board. Granted that you have enough protection, that you're competent enough in how you're doing. Most people who have been in this field for a while and have had many experiences to go down with it, I believe, where they've had the bad. And they've come up and they've still went back into the field, that kind of stuff. These are people, I think, who would be able to. The people who are smart enough not to are the people who would be able to use the Ouija board safely. That's my thought on that.
And a lot of people, too, whenever they're using a Ouija board, they think it's a game and they think it's fun.
Yeah.
So you're correct in the fact that they do not do anything to protect themselves and they don't have a clue what's going on. Then that's when they get
yeah.
into trouble.
There always has to be a reason. You don't reach out into the nether and ask them, is there any spirit that wants to talk to me just to prove to me that there are ghosts? You need to have an agenda. You need to have a purpose. You need to say, this is the spirit I'm trying to contact. This is the message I'm trying to get from you or give to you. You know, something along those lines. That's how I work anyway. So for the case over here with my daughter, we wanted to learn the name of the young girl who was living at our house. And that's all we tried to do.
Then
without
see,
a purpose,
to...
you're just playing with fire.
Right.
Oh, then I played with fire a lot. When I was younger, I used to play with a Ouija board a lot, and the same spirit always came through. And his name, I don't know, maybe this is kind of ominous, was Moon, you know, like the moon. And the only creepy thing I ever noticed ever happened was I was outside playing with the Ouija board, and there's all these black crows in this tree, and then I asked for the spirit to give me a sign, and they all launched out of the tree at the same time, and I was like, whoa. I don't play with Ouija
there's
boards.
Your sign.
Yep.
Yeah, I've never played with the Ouija. I've never used the Ouija board in my life.
How much money would it take?
Not even money, just a purpose. If I had a purpose good enough, I would use the Ouija board. But I don't have a purpose good enough. There's no reason why I would need to contact the other side because we have everything we need right here. It's just curiosity.
Yeah. Well, maybe you could take one down there and find out who smells like the wet dog.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I didn't want to look too much. In Hawaii, we have. I go out. I used to do ghost tours a lot, like twice a week for 4 years. And we've had we have our demigods and our spirits here. One is a cannibal dog man who manifested on my tour a few times as a 7-foot-tall shadow, body of a man, head of a dog. And so I'd rather not call him or channel him or give him any more attention than I need.
Yeah, I would imagine with all the spirits you have and why. I'm leery of Ouija boards. Yes, I'm Mr. Skeptical, but I'm skeptical, but I'm not stupid. Just because I'm skeptical, I could be wrong. So, but in Hawaii, with all the history there, I would imagine there's all sorts of things you could contact with a Ouija board.
Yeah. But then again, once again, it falls into purpose and protection. I've learned really powerful prayers, which I spoke about last time in Halloween. I was talking with Joel. And these prayers really, it's fascinating how powerful they are. I mean, to me, it's fascinating because I can measure the reactions where we've gone to a location where the last few times we've been there, people have gotten possessed, like bad, you know. And then we go there and the entity is still there, but with the power of the prayer, it can't come close to us. You can still see the mist. It would manifest as a mist, usually above our car, and then it would go and it would hang out for like half an hour, listening to us and stuff. But then you could see the mist on the verges of the barrier. But because of the prayers, you know, you pray in Jesus' blood and you pray for the fiery ring of protection around you and that kind of stuff, and they can't come near, and they keep trying to trick you and to trick people out, you know. It's really interesting how watching their antics, I guess you can say, you know, they'll try to make a noise. You'll hear somebody calling for help. They want people to leave the circle of protection, kind of a thing.
Oh, wow.
Those are some of the active nights. They're very rare, but come to think of it, in this last fall season, it's been very, it's been more normal than it has ever been the entire time I've been doing this.
So you've seen people actually be possessed?
That was a year ago on Halloween. We watched the same girl twice. Something came in. It tried to, well, the first time it tried to possess her. I gave her a crystal, which I have, which is the size of a small rock. And I gave that to her to protect her. It's one of the guardians, and it's a female, so it helps her out. And it tried to get to her from... My friend was sharing a story about a girl who died on the road, one that I've never heard of, but he said that, you know, not a lot of people know the story. And so the spirit played, in my opinion, the spirit played at being the one who got murdered, jumped on her, and she started saying she feels lonely, sadness, pretty much all of the feelings that this murder victim would have felt when she was being murdered, to make us think that it was the girl. But a few things that didn't add up was, number one, the mist. The mist that was above my van for half an hour and listened to us talking about the girl. Nothing good ever, I've learned that nothing good ever comes as a mist. They're in a mist. The mist form, they can disperse. They can't be bound. They can't be caught. They can eat. They're hiding from you in the mist. Then when I gave her my protection, my guardians, she wanted to dash it to the ground, and it took everything in her to the point where she was like convulsing to not dash the rock or the crystal to the ground and break it. That's another red flag for me. And we brought her back about a week or two later when we did a tour in front of all these people. And it was an interesting night when we ended the storytelling and all that. We had a nice blessing, this little, you know, we're all in a circle, we're praying, we're saying thank you to the spirits, and we're praying to God for protection and to watch over us as this light mist just rains on us briefly for a few seconds. And that right there is a blessing, right? So everyone's all happy and smiling, and everyone feels great. And then right after that, she turns around and she's like, Joe, I think something stabbed me in the heart. And then she's no longer herself. Like, yeah, it was like 10, 15 minutes of all of us trying to get whatever it was out of her, to the point where she was throwing up for about a good 5, 6, 7 minutes straight.
Wow.
So she was just dry heaving. We have Uncle Reuben. He's a Native American elder. This guy knows his stuff. He started speaking in Latin, and I'm like, he was saying the exorcism prayer in Latin, and I'm like, oh, damn, here comes the big guns. This is really happening. And then my friend Guy comes with his holy water and the prayers. My friend Phil comes with his prayers as well. And then I come over there, and I'm trying to push all the bad out of her. And I realize it's not working, so we have her sit down, and we take her to the place to sit down, and her eyes are closed. And I tell her, hey, open your eyes. Open your eyes. And she shakes her head. I'm like, open your eyes. And something in me kind of commanded her. My ancestors come through me sometimes, and it was more of a commanding tone. She opened her eyes, and there was nothing but pure anger in her eyes that flashed for a second. And then she looked around, and she's like, what happened? Why am I sitting down? She had no recollection of the last 15 minutes. Then it happened to another girl a few months later down the same road, the exact same kind of things. You know, and then so we kind of avoided the place for a while. It's a great place to tell ghost stories. It's scary, has a lot of history, but if there's something like that in the area, we're not going to go, you know. But with the prayers, we were able to. It was fascinating, you know. The thing was there, and it was getting really frustrated that it couldn't get into us and it couldn't get near us. But yeah.
I think people take protection and prayers for granted. They don't really realize that it takes care of them, and it does protect them,
exactly.
And it does help them.
Exactly.
Can I ask you guys, all three of you, do you find that it's got to be a certain prayer, and this might help our listeners, or is it something that you feel that's really powerful and that's personal to you, or is it something that you know, at the time that you would say, okay, I need a prayer, and you just, you know, you ad-lib it and just come from the heart. What's your style, or what do you suggest to our listeners?
Jason, why don't you grab that one?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
The question is that you need a prayer for a circumstance where you know there might be oppression or possession or something that you feel like you need to protect yourself or your family or those that are around you, or what in Joe's case, in a tour situation, do you find that there's a prayer that you go by, like from the Bible, or is it something that you use that is personal to you, or you just ad-lib it and say, okay, this is what I need to do, and I'm just going to go off the cuff and you know, have the intentions of getting rid of whatever it is that you want to protect yourself from.
Well, I know for me personally, when I was doing investigations, I haven't done it in a long time. I mean, I believe that intention is everything. I don't believe that you have to subscribe to any sort of particular religion. It's whatever holds true to yourself. So what I did is, yes, I'm Mr. Skeptical, but before I went into any place, I had this prayer that I formulated myself, which basically consisted of me, you know, making it clear that I did not want any attachments. Nothing was to follow me home. Nothing's permitted to follow me home. Nothing's permitted to attach to me. And I would say this prayer when I got there and when I left. And I, as far as I know, never had a problem with any kind of attachments. So it seemed to work for me, but my opinion is it's all about intention. It's not so much, you know, what you're saying, you know, as long as you believe it, basically, because, I mean, that's just my experience.
That's cool. How about you, Joe?
That's a tough question. prior to you asking that question, I was thinking it's all based on personal belief. Whatever makes you feel protected, whatever makes you feel strong, it's the being strong, it's the feeling protected that is what works for you. If you think a rock is there and it makes you strong and protects you, then you're no longer afraid. And the entire feeling of not being afraid is what's going to save you. If you think a piece of wood or two pieces of wood together in a cross is going to save you, it's the same thing. If you think throwing salt or holy water or whatever is going to save you, as long as it makes you brave, as long as it takes away the fear, then they have nothing to latch onto. But I've been thinking about it. And there was something that happened all the way back in 2008 where something tried to follow me home. A really powerful spirit. And I used every trick in my book. We have tea leaves, T-I, not the kind of tea you drink, but the tea leaves are sacred in Hawaii. And I was waving that around the van because something had followed me. And I could feel it in the back laughing. Heat in the entire van. AC was on full blast. Windows were down. The windows were fogging up. It was terrifying. I'm driving down the freeway. I'm throwing Hawaiian salt all over the van. I'm yelling, get out. I'm waving my tea leaves around, and not a single one of these things worked. And that is what made me even more terrified. Then it hit me. Why don't I pray? I'm Catholic. You know, why is that always the last resort? And as soon as I said be our Father, and as soon as I said amen, the thing launched out of the passenger window on the freeway, and it hit the back of my van so hard I fishtailed down the freeway. But it left. So my personal answer would be, based on my experience, and I'm not trying to push religion on nobody, but anybody that comes to me for help or a blessing, they have ghosts. My strength comes from God, the Catholic Church, Jesus, all of that stuff, St. Michael the Archangel, you know. And if people want me to help them, then I tell them you need to go to church. Otherwise, you find somebody else to ask for help, because I can't help you using a different God.
What about you,
you know,
Maria?
So that's my thought.
Prior to the Holy Trinity, all of it, I'm not Catholic, but I'm not afraid to use it. I do that. Before I go into some place that I feel like it's going to be bad, there's always a prayer said to God. You know, it's just, that's the only way I know how to protect myself. It's never gone wrong. And even when we do blessings or cleansings of homes, we're calling on all of it, the archangels and the God and Jesus, the Holy Trinity, you know, all of it. That's who we use to cleanse homes, and it's not failed us yet.
So, Joel, when that followed you, were you protected at the time? I mean, did you feel like you were not or were protected, and it just so happened it wasn't strong enough that it tried to follow you?
I started in, I think, April or May of 2008, and this was June of 2008. So I was still wet behind the ears, you know, I was still really new at this. A lot of the protection that I have now is from doing the tours, the spirits who are in the areas and hear me talking, and I mean, and in the most humblest way possible, watching me tell stories, I've been told that they like the way I tell stories and they like the respect that I give them. And so they in turn protect me in these areas and in others. I didn't have that. Then again, this one thing has come back a few times. And I know my house is well protected by a Hawaiian a chief who's still buried under the house. And he's kept us safe, which is fantastic for what I do, right? Nothing can come into my yard. Nothing can come into my house except for one night where this thing that tried to follow me home was able to harass my son. You know, my son woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning, grabbed a glass of water to drink in the living room or the kitchen, went back in the room and heard laughing at the window, and then turned and looked, and there was a person's face peeking in the window. He's on the second story, laughing at him. And then immediately everything went black. He lost his vision and the laughter continued. I knew he called me the moment it happened. He wasn't scared. He just wanted me to know that something had happened. He told me, and I was told by a few people, and I felt it as well, that this was the same spirit. The spirit that tried to follow me home is the Hawaiians had worshipped it as a god before. One of the most powerful gods, a god you did human sacrifice to. And later down the road, I found out that it was my family who did human sacrifice to this god back in the pre-contact days and the old Hawaiian days. So he thinks that I'm doing the same thing. And he finally thought, because I told him I'm not doing it, he finally discovered that I have a son. I believe that the chief could not protect us, because the chief is a chief, but this was a god. You know, we have demigods.
Makes a big difference.
But of the Hawaiian gods, I've had psychics tell me, because I have one old good friend of mine, she relays messages to me that the spirits want me to know. So she'll call me up with a message, and one day she called me, she's like, Joe, there's this guy right now. She said, he's nothing that I've ever felt before, but he wants me to tell you something. She's like, he's more powerful than I've ever felt. He's very, very male, and that's what this god represents, male. Masculinity, everything about him is male. And she's like, yeah, I never felt anything this powerful before, ever. And so I know there are different levels. So this guy is not a demigod. This guy is not a ghost or a spirit. This guy is a little bit above, or a lot bit above the other ones, you know.
What is a demigod?
A demigod is the Hawaiians.
Yeah, I was just wondering what a demigod. I've heard that word before.
Mm-hmm. Like Hercules, I guess. Part mortal, part not. Hawaii, we have these things called kupua, and the kupua are shapeshifters. They are mostly they're the product of a divine and a mortal. You know, relationship, and they don't have lifespans, and they don't always need to take on the form of a person, or maybe their spirit comes back and it's the same thing. Like Madame Pele, she's more of a goddess, but not quite on the same level as this guy. This guy was never mortal before. This guy was never a human before that walked the earth. And there's a lot of legends of Madame Pele. Madame Pele was in her flesh and bone body as she paddled from Tahiti over to Hawaii, you know, with her brother, the shark, Kamahoali'i, guiding them to the land, and her sisters and all of that stuff as well. So Pele was in a mortal form before, Madame Pele. But this one, I believe, was not.
Hmm.
None that I could ever think of. I could be wrong, though, and this is just this is just thoughts, you know. And it may change. But for now, that's what it is right now.
Hawaii
certainly
has.
Go ahead, Jason. Oh, no, it's all you.
I was just going to say, a lot of people will say that demons are also along with that. They've never been human before.
You're right. And for the longest time, I considered this, and I toyed with the possibility that this was a demon, even though my friend said, no, it's not. In 2014, I went to Bobby Mackey's, and I have these moments where the words come out of my mouth before they go into my brain, you know, and I start saying things that even surprise me. And in these words that I'm saying, when things are attacking, when things were getting really heavy at Bobby Mackey's and there was something right in my face, I conjured this God that had always kind of harassed me, and he actually came to save me. So I don't believe that there is an alignment of good and evil with him. I believe there can be both, just like we can be both, and we can choose one or the other, and we can change our choices. So I don't believe he's a bad guy or a demon. Demons are supposed to be evil. Demons are supposed to be, you know, they want the ruin of humanity and all of that kind of stuff, right?
Correct. They want to take you away from God's grace.
Yeah, just one kind of wanted me to do the same.
Does the Hawaiian culture have anything that says, you know, like, the Bible and all that, the end of days, Armageddon. Does Hawaii have anything like that in its history where they believe that society is going to fall or anything like that?
None that I can think of, but there is something I discovered at the Bishop Museum. There is a chant. Keep in mind, everything was passed down orally, right? Nothing was written down. Everything was passed down word of mouth. There's a chant that was passed down that they wrote on the wall, and I can't remember exactly what it meant, but it was along the lines of predicting that we were going to be taken over by an outside force, but in the days ahead, we will take back what is ours, and we will flourish. That's the closest thing I can come to it. Nothing about the end of the days, Armageddon, apocalypse.
Oh, now didn't that already happen, though, when America took over Hawaii?
Yeah. And that one chant empowers a lot of people, because in Hawaii we have a whole political thing. A lot of people are there's sovereignty movements and all of that kind of stuff, and you know, there's people who believe the U.S. should just be out and it should just be Hawaii again. Personally, I like Starbucks and McDonald's. I don't want to grow food in my backyard to survive. But I like, I'm just as American as I am Hawaiian, you know. But once again, that's my thoughts right now. yeah, so, I mean, a lot of people pull from that, saying that, yes, we're going to be successful and we're going to take Hawaii back.
Do you think the spirits there hold animosity to the you know, the Westerners, the people from America? Do you think that creates a disadvantage for tourism?
Spiritually, no. The Hawaiians knew better. You know, the Hawaiians did not. The ones that overthrew them and the very people that came in there and tore the queen off the throne and forced her to abdicate and all of that stuff, yeah. She would have some hatred, some anger towards him, but not towards every person that's white. You know, not towards every American kind of a thing. I've had to remind people, you know, my group, it's an open forum. A lot of people chat, and there's a lot of Hawaiian pride, which to me is fantastic. But when you start attacking other people saying, you're not Hawaiian, you don't know, go back to the mainland, you know, like that kind of stuff. It's like, hey, knock it off. How do you think the queen would feel if she saw you saying that? And they shut right up.
Wow.
The royalty are very forgiving, you know. Even the great king, though. People who visited Hawaii, who lived in Hawaii that were not Hawaiian, were never held to the same standards that the Hawaiians were held to.
Yeah. That's like Americans weren't Americans until they came from England and every place else and then they became American. So that's you're exactly right in your analogy there.
I'm about as white as you can get. I've thought my whole life, because I'm adopted, that I was, you know, because I was born in New Mexico, and there was word of me being like Navajo, and I was so proud to be Native American. And then, of course, I do a DNA test, and I'm like about as European as you can get. I was disappointed. I was crushed.
That's me. Yeah, my background's English, so yes. I'm as white as you are on that part.
That's my mom.
He came to a shocker and can say this is my oldest daughter did a DNA test on our side of the family, you know, because her father's German and I'm have the Asian background, and I found out that on my side, she's 48% Vietnamese and 42% Vietnamese and 8% Chinese. I was blown away. But I feel like there's always been that in every race. So just because, you know, you come from this, a lot of times people like to judge and pigeonhole you. You know, it's like, oh yeah, you know, you're Asian as an example. Oh, you're Asian, you can't drive or something like that. You know, we have that in every race, but you know, to actually judge and put you like that, I think that's kind of unfair. It's not, you know, it's not coming from love. It's coming from ego and judgment.
Yeah.
There's plenty of that.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. It's rife. Everybody wants to judge everybody. It's terrible.
Yeah,
hopefully
hopefully
people can raise their consciousness and start being a little kinder to one another.
It is. It's really different, especially with the Asian community. When I grew up, in a very Asian household, and Joe can relate, you know, with his Asian ancestry too. I think it differently, quite differently than the Europeans or any other culture, but we have a lot of similarities. And, you know, I have a lot of respect in our culture, but I also do disagree with a lot of things in our culture. So, you know, I try and think out of the box and say, okay, I want to become an individual, and just because I am Chinese doesn't mean I have to fit in their mold of being a person who's an engineer and has to have certain things, or have to, you know, look like you come out of the showroom, or you walk out of the house with always makeup on and things like that. Just be yourself. People are gonna, you know, the real people that are love you and everything, they're gonna accept you for who you are, not what you can show. So that's how I feel.
Can't we all just get along?
I know. That's what I said last night.
Yeah.
I cried, Lewis. I want to thank him for having me on his FM radio show last night and his party. It was a blast. But that's why I said, you know, he asked me, you know, on the show in front of the audience, he says, what is your prediction for 2019? I said, I don't really have a prediction. My prediction, if anything, is for us to come together as a whole and try and love and respect each other. That's my prediction, if it is a prediction, but that's more important than anything else. So, yeah, that's what we can do. Live each day moment by moment and be aware of not only ourselves but the people around you.
Yeah, exactly. In Hawaii, it's funny because, yeah, we get all the racist people, but it's kind of a joke down here because, you know, we have the people that take it to the other level, but I mean, down here it's commonplace to have little racist jokes and real racist remarks, but because everybody is so mixed, you're that same race that you're making fun of, you know.
It's contradictory, huh?
Yeah.
Crazy. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's like I said, it's just ego. You know, if you strip your title and you strip all these things, who are you? You know, what can you do? What is your purpose? Your purpose is to love yourself, learn to love yourself so that you can add value to this world. That's what it's all about. Share and grow and learn and include others that you can trust and just grow together. That's what it's all about.
Well, and a lot of people in the paranormal community don't do that. It's more, hey, look at me and look at what I've done.
Mm-hmm.
And they, anybody else, and it's, I've heard John Tenney say this lots of times, that he said, I'll give you my opinion. It may not be right, and it may not be wrong, but I'm not going to tell you that you're right or wrong, because we don't know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Everybody in the paranormal field wants to be the next Zach Bagans or TV show or something like that. And yeah.
Ain't that the truth?
Well, a lot of people.
So what is your, and I'm not a paranormal investigator, but really quickly, what do you, how do you feel when somebody comes out like that with, you know, with Ghost Adventures? I mean, I have mixed feelings. I've watched him quite a few times, and part of me feels like, this is my personal opinion, it's not what it's true or not true, but this is my personal opinion, is that part of them, they want to know that there's ghosts, but, you know, it feels like it's like, it's kind of like glamorized, you know, it's kind of, it's like, over, I wouldn't say over the top, but I don't know, you know, what they put on is actually what it is. I mean, they're good people, I can see, but, you know, is it something that is really exaggerated? Let's put it that way. Is that the question I'm trying to ask? Well, how do you feel about that as a paranormal investigator yourself?
It is a TV show, and they have to draw an audience. You know, they do their interviews like you're supposed to do, and a lot of us will do research further into it. Of course, they've got a big team that can do a whole lot of that stuff for them. I think as much as I don't like the ego and the attitudes sometimes, they do try to bring in new experiments. They introduce people that are trying to maybe get a better connection, communication-wise, to show the intelligence and the residual difference. They debunk and stuff. But, yeah, it has to be glamorized, or they're not going to get a TV
mm-hmm.
audience.
Exactly.
And I think in reality, and I hear from these guys, even like Joe Walling from Paranormal North Coast, you know, they spend hours and hours to get some evidence, and sometimes you don't get evidence at all.
That's
mm-hmm.
right.
Imagine if I think to live stream a ghost hunt would probably be one of the most boring things ever.
Really?
You know, if you're in the middle of an investigation, I mean, we will sit down for 6, 7, 8 hours. My wife don't like that too much, but we'll sit down for hours and hours, and maybe something will happen. Maybe. You know, most of the time we're just talking story, we're hanging out, we're having a good time. We're building relationships, friendships, you know, discussing, entertaining, whatever. And every now and then we'll bust out the spirit box or we'll start asking some questions, but that might take an hour. What do you do for the other 7 hours? You know, you watch Ghost Adventures, and that's like an hour. And then that hour long or 45 minutes episode, they had spent 8 hours in the location. And the 15 minutes of the episode is them doing a preliminary in the daytime, right? So you only catch the highlights. You have to really be there to really enjoy, you know, the feeling, the energy, the atmosphere. To see it might be fun for about 5-10 minutes, but after that it's like, well, nothing's happening, I'm going to watch something else.
Right.
That's how ghost hunting and paranormal investigations and stuff like that are. That's how I see them. And of course, when things happen, you hardly ever have the camera rolling.
Always.
My friend has,
always.
Yeah, my friend decided I'm going to have my camera rolling, right? So we went to the prospect place, and he had 7 or 8 different cameras rolling for 10 hours we were there. And I'm sorry, I'm not sitting down watching 80 hours of footage anytime soon, you know?
Yeah. Well, it looks like we are running out of time here, so I want to thank you both. And so, Joe, how do people, how can they learn more about you if they want to contact you?
Facebook, Jofunohu, or the group Hawaiian Hauntings on Facebook. Facebook is easy enough for me. I don't have anything else but Facebook for right now. So, yeah,
very
the group
cool,
is Hawaiian
man.
Hauntings, and my name is Jofunohu. Or just contact one of you guys, too, or the Paranormal Horizons page and whatnot. So, yeah.
Sweet. And Maria, you're one of us now, so I'm looking forward to doing some shows with you, and greatly appreciate that and your help with everything.
Ta-da! Here I am.
She's awesome. Oh my gosh, she's taking over the page, which is a big relief because it's for me it's like wow, I only have 24 hours a day and can have to. It's great to have somebody that you trust and you built a relationship with and. And it's just, I feel really good to have asked her. And Jason's open to her heart, too. So it's going to be working, collaborating, and just expanding. That's what it's all about. So I'm excited to have her on board and be part of us and help us. And we're just, help grow Paranormal Horizons. And as we grow ourselves. So, yeah, it's great. Thank you. Thank you, Maria. Welcome.
Yeah. I'm
the
very
official welcome.
Excited.
And Maria's been on quite a few times, so she's family. But, it's good.
I'm very excited about it.
I want to wish everyone a happy new year. Be safe, It's all about, taking care of yourself and, just try and be happy.
Yeah,
definitely.
Happy new year, guys.
Yeah, happy new year. Hopefully
I can't believe
2019
it.
Is a good one.
You want 2 days?
Yeah, Jason, you better behave tomorrow night. Don't get too wild on us.
Let's see. What's tomorrow? Oh, I'm working in a hospital tomorrow night. Lucky me.
Are you going to be drawing blood again?
It's hit and miss. That's hard to say. Working in a hospital is interesting. Because it's sometimes when you think it's busy or there's a lot of patients, it ends up not being busy. And then sometimes there's not very many patients, but it's super busy. It just depends. If somebody calls in sick, then yeah, I'll probably have to draw some blood. But I don't know. It's my job working in a laboratory is not boring, and I'm thankful for it, and I do enjoy it. It makes me feel smart. Hey, I work in a lab. I must not be as dumb as I think.
Oh my gosh. Well,
but,
anyway, guys, next week listen to my show. It's again Portals to Enlightenment and the journey of the body, mind, and spirit. We're going to have Andrea Perrone. She's been on the show, our show Paranormal Horizons, quite a few times. She wants to go and debut next week. She's going to talk about her book. The book, the trilogy, is House of Darkness, House of Light. And she's going to talk about, we already pre-recorded it, but she's going to talk about her experiences and what her mother's personal experiences that they do not show on the movie. So right now she's in the process of the second part of House of Darkness, House of Light in the movie. So that's going to be her real version that's going to hit the motion picture and the real truth behind The Conjuring. So we're going to have her next week, and, that's pretty much about it.
Well, with
cool.
that, we'll
Thanks
close the show.
On,
I'm actually – hey, no, it's a pleasure. Thanks for taking the time. And I wanted to mention real quick that I actually was a guest of all things on a show, Into the Fire, with Barry Gaunt, right? Yeah, I'm drawing a blank right now. I think I'm having a stroke. Anyway, that's on Blog Talk, and I think you said that aired January 2nd. I'm not sure, but so that'll be out there shortly. So check into the Fire on Blog Talk Radio. And with that, I guess that's it. I guess we'll see everybody next Sunday.
Sounds great.
Hey, Happy
All
New
right,
Year,
aloha.
Everybody.
Have a good night, guys.
Thank you,
Happy
Joe. Thank you, Maria.
Thank you.
Good night.
Take care. Bye-bye. Peace.